Okay, we're going to begin here at the top of Tzadi Chedum and Aleph, but the two dots. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Marav, Abba Amar Rav Huna Marav. Hamavir Dalet Amot Birshut Rabim Mikure Patur. Someone who carries in a Rishut Rabim that has a roof over it is Patur. The Fisha Eno Domeh L'Digle Amidbar. Because it's not similar to the Rishut Rabim that they had in the Midbar. Again, every time we bump into Hotza'ah, the Gemara is always looking for either a Pasuk or a paradigm in the Mishkan. And without it, we're not mechayev in terms of hotza'ah, because of Tosafot, Rabbeinu Tam says it's a malacha grua, and therefore we need evidence of the fact that the malacha was carried out in this way. Since there was no reshut harabim mikureh in the midbar, therefore there's going to be no culpability midoraita for carrying dalet amot in a reshut harabim that is mikureh. Now, this is going to occupy us for most of today's daf, which is, ini, is that really true? Umar wants to really understand, is it true that there were no covered areas in the reshut harabim in the midbar? V'ha agalot dimikurot havyan. The agalot, the wagons that were used by Bnei Mari to carry the krashim, those four agalot that we bumped into before, that were used by Bnei Mari to move the krashim on them, aren't they mikurot? Aren't they covered? Ve'amarav, mishum rabichia, agalot, tachtehem, ubenehem, vitzidehem, reshut harabim. They agalot, when it's under them, when it's between them, and their sides, all classified as reshut harabim. Here, the Gemara does not give you all the information you need to know. That's coming up in tomorrow's daf. The Gemara assumes that you have this information already. The agalot of the midbar looked at something akin to this, which is that they are, first of all, 5 amot long, which is an important part of it, that the orech of the agalah is 5 amot. The rochav of the agalot was also 5 amot. But in the rochav, in the width of the agalot, it wasn't exactly the same as the length. The length was a real 5 amot in length. In terms of the width, the actual width of the wagon itself, or the empty area, the halal, the space in the middle, is 2.5 amot. On the side, you have what are called the defanot, or later on in the Gemara, they're going to call them yetedot. But it's these framed side pieces here on which the krashim are going to sit. We'll see that in a second. Then you had the extension of the axle and then the wheel. Between that dofan, the ofan, or the ofanim, the wheels, that area, that expanse is 1.25 amot on each side. So therefore, if you take the center open space of 2.5 amot and 1.25 amot on this side for the dofan and the ofanim, and then the other side you have for the dofa and the wall and the ofanim and the wheels. So you have 1.25 on each side. That adds up to 2.5. 2.5, 2.5 is 5 amot across. It's a 5 amot squared wagon, but the lengthwise you have a real 5 amot. Widthwise, you really only have 2.5 amot in width of empty space. And then the sideboards and the wheels give you an 1.25 each, which add up to 2.5 amot. And then you have a full 5 amot across. So that's the shape of the agalot. Now, Rav said that we have 3 areas that are classified as being Reshut HaRabim. Number one is Tachtehem, under them. Tzidehem, on their sides. So under them, pretty easy to understand. Tzidehem is in the area between the wheels. It's beyond the wagon itself, but the area between the wheels. Beinehem is the space between the wagons. We're going to see in a second that they put the Krashim on top of them, so they needed space to go on top. And that deals with this next piece, which is the Krashim themselves were 10 amot tall, but they laid them down across the width of the wagons. So the 10 amot Krashim sat on the 2.5 amot empty space in the middle. Plus they covered the board and the wheels, which is 1.25 each side, but that gives you only 5 amot across the width of the wagon. Then they extended beyond the wagon on both sides another 2.5 amot. Because the width of the wagon takes up 5 amot of the keresh, and they have 2.5 amot that they extend on each side. So when you have the wagons next to each other, the boards will come close to each other, and therefore you'll have this 5 amot space that sits between the two wagons, that is Beinehem. And we know from before, the Gemara's before, that we're at least 10 tefachim or 10 tefachim off the ground, because this was the ra'aya, that if you pass something above 10 tefachim, or from a reshut yachid to a reshut yachid over a reshut rabim, that you are chayav, shekem b'nei kahat. They used to transfer the krashim from one wagon to the other wagon. So we know that this area, the base of the wagon, where the krashim sit, is at least 10 fachim off the ground, because that was the proof the Gemara brought before to the fact that you pass something across the reshut rabim, or really along the side of the Rishut HaRabim, from Rishut HaYechid Rishut HaYechid, that you are Chayav. So that gives you the background. So what the Gemara is saying is, well, let's see. Rav just said that underneath the wagons, between the wagons, and on the sides of the wagons, you are Chayav. That's considered to be Rishut HaRabim. Well, let's look at that. If that's Rishut HaRabim, the Krashim go right across there. The Krashim go across there, then it's a roofed area of the Rishut HaRabim. Because the Krashim are going to cover the area that's Bnehem. It's going to cover the area that's Tachtehem. And it's going to cover the area that's Bitzidehem. So because of that, the Gemara says, you have a problem now. Because we have a statement that says that Rishut HaRabim, that is Mikurez Patur, because there was no such thing in the Midbar. But based on the other statement of Rav, it seems that there was a covered area in the Midbar that was classified as Rishut HaRabim. Those are the areas underneath, on the sides, and between the Agalot, which have the Krashim that lay over them. When the Krashim lay over them, they do have a roof. They are Mikureh. Alright, so that's the Gemara's issue now. So the Gemara says, oh, no problem. Ki kama Rav. Rav's solution to the problem is Bitarato. Rav solves the problem is that Bitarato. You have to know that the way that they had to place the Krashim on these wagons resulted in spaces being left over. And that's because Bnei Mari had four wagons for the 48 Krashim that are found in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, we have 20 Krashim that run along the northern side, 20 Krashim that run along the southern side, and then 8 Krashim that run along the western side of the Mishkan gets you to 48 Krashim. Those 48 Krashim are divided up amongst 4 Agalot. That means that each Agalah is carrying 12 of the Krashim. So now the Gemara says, okay, Rav is saying, or the solution to our problem is, there was areas that Rav said are Rishut HaRabim, underneath the wagons, to the sides of the wagons, and in between the wagons. But those had empty or air spaces between the Krashim, and that's what he's speaking about. He's not speaking about the areas directly under the Krashim. He's talking about the gapping between them when you stack them up. Now the Gemara wants to understand this. What's exactly this case? Michde. Let us understand now. Urka da'agala kamahavai. How long is the length of a wagon? Kamesh amin. That's the 5 amot that we know that is the length of the wagon. Putya da keresh. The width of the keresh. Kamavai. How wide is it? Amta upalga. It's 1.5 amot. So now, the way that the Krashim looked were they were 10 amot tall, and then they were 1.5 amot wide, and an amad deep. So now what the Gemara says is, okay, you're going to lay the Krashim along the length of the wagon. So now if each keresh is 1.5 amot wide, and you're going to lay them down on the width of the keresh, how many can you fit on a 5 amot wagon? Well, 3 times 1.5 gets you to 4.5. So the maximum amount that you can lay across this wagon is 3. So what you'll do is you'll lay them across, 3 of them across, and then stack them up 4 high. And that's how you get the 12 on the wagon. Now the Gemara says, okay, if you do that, kama motif, how many can you put down on the wagon? Tlato, you can lay 3 across the wagon with 5 amot. You can lay 3 with 1.5 amot of width on the wagon. So pashale pagodamto. So if you take 5 minus 3 times 1.5, that's 5 minus 4.5 amot, you get half an amah left over. So you distribute that half an amah between the stacks of krashim. Kishadalei mar beni ubeni, when you distribute it in between, half an amah, it's equivalent of 3 tefachim. Because an amah is 6 tefachim, half an amah is 3 tefachim. If I distribute the space evenly between the stacks, that means that between each stack I have 1.5 tefachim. So that's what you see here. You have a 5 amah wagon. Each one of the krashim laying on their side takes up 1.5 amot. You have 1.5 tefachim space in between, then another 1.5 amot, 1.5 tefachim, and then another 1.5 amot. Problem with that is, kalavu dummy, that doesn't help you. Because even though there's an empty space between the stacks of the krashim, that doesn't solve the problem because they're too close together. Under 3 tefachim away from each other, it's as if the space doesn't exist. It's as if it's gone, and it's as if it's still roofed. If that's the case, if it's still roofed, then we don't have a solution to our problem, which is, we said it's not in the Midbar, yet Rav is saying, underneath these wagons, and by the sides, and in between them, you have these Krashim that are taking up the space that's there, and in taking up the space, they're also going to roof over that area. We said, no, it's the in-between space, but the in-between space is too little to give you an opening. So Gemara says, wait a minute, Misavrat Krashim Aputayu Hava Manachlu. What? You thought that they laid the Krashim down on their width. Achudan manochuhu. They actually laid them down on their depth. And we said again, they were 10 amot high, 1.5 amot wide, and 1 amot deep. So now they're going to lay them on their side, basically on the one amah side. Sof sof. So now what's going to happen if you do that? Sumcha the garish ha'amahavit. The depth of the keresh is amto, one amah. So then, gama have a motif, how many can you lay down on a wagon? If you have a five amah wagon, how many of those one amah wide can you lay down? You can lay down four of them on a five amah wagon. If you do five, you'd be too close. It won't work. It'd be too tight, and they wouldn't be able to balance on there. The assumption is that you have four of them along here, four amot. So you have an extra amah left over, because you put one amah, one amah, one amah across, and then you'll stack three high. Three high of one and a half amot. Because now, remember, you turned it on its depth side. That means the width is on the upright. That means you have one and a half amot. So they're going to actually be four and a half amot tall stacked, and then have one amah of their depths laying across the wagons. They lay across the wagons, this one amah. You take up four rows of that, or four columns worth of the kreshim. Then you have four amot out of the five. That leaves you one amah left over. The one amah you have to distribute in the three empty spaces between the different columns of the kreshim. So, v'hamah kamah motiv arba. Pashala amto. So you have one amah left over. Kishari la'amar beni ubeni. Again, what do? You redistribute the space evenly between the stacks of kreshim. One amah is equivalent of six tfachim. If you have to divide up six tfachim between three empty spaces, that means each space gets two tfachim. Kalavu dami, you're in the same problem again. You're under three tfachim space. It's as if it doesn't exist. As if it doesn't exist, then you haven't solved your problem. You still haven't found an area that's not mikureh around these agalot that Rav's speaking about. And that would mean that there was a roofed area in the midbar that was classified as Rishut Rabim. So Gemara says, all right, we're going to move on to something else. Hani chalaman da'amar. Again, the Gemara assumes you know this already. There's going to be a machloket in a second about what the kreshim look like. Until now, we've assumed they're 10 amot high, 1.5 amot wide, and an amah deep. And that was it. We assumed that they were rectangular in nature, the way that most boards are. There's a machloket coming up in 1 second. And in that machloket that we're coming up, there is a difference of opinion of whether the kreshim, as they got higher, tapered off. Were they actually rectangular in nature? Or as they ascended, they actually moved inward and they tapered off. The difference will be that for the one who says it tapered off, we can actually find a solution. Until now, we've been discussing them being square or rectangular in nature. There we had no solution. The Gemara says, Anicha l'man da'amar. It works well according to one who says, Krashim milamata and ovyanama. At the base, the krashim are an amah deep, milamalon. As they ascend, kalim v'ochin ad getzpa. They narrow down till they are a finger's breadth. They are tapering off as they go up. Shapir, now it makes sense, we can figure this out. So here you have it again. If you lay the four of them across the wagon, on the side that you have the amah, you still have the same problem that you had before. But on the side that they taper off to become an etzpa, you're going to have spaces between them, significant spaces between them. Remember, it's five amot across here, and etzpa is much less than an amah. And so the three empty spaces here are going to exceed three tefachim without any problem. Now, where was Rav's statement? Okay, Sidehem was underneath the boards opening over here. Tachtehem was over here. Benehem was over here. You have areas where it's not roofed, and that's what's going to be classified as Rishut Rabim, according to Rav. And that would solve our problem, the steerer between the two statements of Rav. Elo l'man da'amar k'shem sh'lamatan ovyan amah, kach milamala ovyan amah. According to the opinion, it says that they were equally an amah at the bottom as they were on the top. There was no tapering over here. They were completely rectangular in nature. Then, ma'ika l'meimar. What is the solution to this? Amar of Kahana, ba'atbe'i. It's with atbe'i. Now, this is a machloket exactly what ba'atbe'i means. We'll go with, first, what Rashi explains in the name of his Rebbeim. The name of his Rebbeim, he says, atbe'i are the taba'ot that were found on the kreshim. So if you remember the way that the Mishkan was built, you had the kreshim that went around. Again, there were 20 on the north side, 20 on the south side, and 8 on the western side. In order to join them together, they had what was called a briach, a lock. But the briach worked like this. They had rings. A quarter of the way down the board, there was a ring. And then a quarter way up from the bottom of the board, there was a ring. And then there were these poles that were inserted into those rings that attached the boards. In addition to that, there were holes through the center of the boards. And that's what we call the briach hatichon, the center briach that's inserted into the center and goes all the way around through the center. So right now, the Gemara is discussing, according to the Rebbeim of Rashi, is the taba'ot. So the answer to our problem is actually the Taba'ot, which is here. If you look, if you lay out the Krashim, now again, you're going to lay them out on their one Amma side, but with the one Amma side facing on the longer side are these Taba'ot, these rings in which you insert the poles that attach them together, as well as the center holes where you insert the Briach HaTichon through. Now, if you make the boards flush together and have the rings facing out, you put two boards flush, and then the rings facing out. And the same on the other side. You put two boards together and the rings facing out. If you do that, what ends up happening is, you have to remember, the wagon is 5 amot long. And now you're sitting the boards on their sides, on their depth, which is 1 amah each. That's 4 amot. So instead of what we did before, which is distributing the space between the different stacks of boards evenly, over here, all the space will be in the middle. There'll be 1 amah in the middle. Why did you have to do this? You have to do this because the rings jut out of the boards, and you can't push the boards together because of the rings. The rings block you from pushing them together, so all the space is left in the middle, and then you put the rings on the outside, and then in the middle. So that's how you solve the problem. Now we have an amma in the middle. An amma in the middle, again, is another area that's not roofed. So here will be tachtehem is reshut rabim, here will be tzidehem, and here will be benehem, that is reshut rabim. And that will solve the problem for Rav. That's the way the Rebbeim of Rashi explain it. On the other hand, Rashi himself says he thinks that's the wrong explanation. He says he doesn't think the word Adbe'ei means Taba'ot. He says that Adbe'ei actually means something akin to a clothespin or a paperclip. It's a board that is split, that's cut, and in it you insert papers to hold it. It holds the papers. You have a board that has a crack in it, and you push the papers in there and it holds the papers. Equivalent again, a paper clip or a clothespin of some sort that holds it together. And that's what he thinks the Gemara is saying over here. Adbe'ei basically means that they are flush against each other. He has the same, in the end, solution as his Rebbeim, but for a different reason. He says it has nothing to do with the Taba'ot, but simply they made the two stacks flush, the other two stacks flush, and then they left the Amma in the middle. They left the Amma in the middle not because of the Taba'ot, but simply because it was easier to keep the two stacks together. They reinforced each other and the other two stacks together. Rashi says one of his big kashas on his Rebbeim is, because I don't understand why the Taba'ot are a problem. All you have to do is stagger them. If you don't put them directly opposite each other, but you offset them slightly, you could push them together without having any problems with the Taba'ot. So he says, I don't see the Taba'ot being an issue to force the boards apart. He says, I think they made a decision to put the boards apart in Amma, but nothing to do with the Taba'ot, because I think with the Taba'ot, you can solve that problem by slightly offsetting the boards and then pressing them together. Right, then you don't have enough between them. You're going to have that area will be less than the 3 tefachim that you need. It's less than half an amma, and then you'll run into a problem. You're right, you still have a space between them because of the Taba'ot, but we're assuming the Taba'ot are less than half an amma. Because of that, you have less than 3 tefachim, and you're back to your lovewood problem. The Rashi, on the other hand, offers this alternative solution, which is that it's just talking about being flush, and that's what the word adbe'e means. He brings proof to what he thinks the definition is, not to do with the Taba'ot. Again, it's the same solution, but because of a different reason that draws him to that solution. There's one thing to note, that Tosafot over here does not necessarily love the explanation here of the boards coming tapered, because he says if this really is the way the boards looked, what you should have done is alternate the boards. So if you alternate the boards, then the tapering would match up with the thicker sides, and then you could actually put more boards and put them closer together. So what Tosafot suggests in the end is that they weren't tapered like this. They actually were thick through about the halfway point, and then they only taper towards the top. If they're not tapered the entire way, then you cannot alternate them, have them be flush together or close together. Because if they only taper towards the top, then you don't have that option. So that's what Tosafot says, that he is not sure that this idea of them tapering all the way along is the proper way to explain it, because otherwise you have a solution or you have a way to alternate them and then lose the space again. So then, Mar says, Atbe heicha manachluhu. Where are the atbe? Where are these rings? Agaba d'agla. Agala. On the back of the agala. Agala gufa mikura havai. Wait a minute. Where do you think these Taba'ot are? Well, the Taba'ot here are in the center, and they are running over the agala. Problem is now, what we've assumed until now is the design that I showed you of the agala is that it's a frame. The agala is just a frame of two sideboards and the two ends, which also act as probably something akin to a axle. And that's how they moved the wagons, that they were just framed out wagons. What the Gemara says now is, wait a minute, maybe the wagons had a plank across them, but they themselves were not just a frame, they actually had something sitting on them. They had a board or a floor that sat on them. If that's the case, now you have no solution to the problem about being under the wagons, because the wagons are always covered. No matter how you lay out the boards, the wagons are covered, and that's going to be a problem. The solution to that problem is Amar Shmuel Biyutedot. The way the wagons were designed is the way that I told you that you need to know some more information from later, is that the way the wagons are described are, they are framed out. So what I told you before was called the Dauphin, according to Rashi, the dolphin, according to Rashi, is what the Gemara now calls the teidot, which are these framed out pieces that allow you to have the wagon carry the krashim without having a floorboard inside of the wagon. So once you do that, then these answers will help us in order to reconcile between the two statements of Rav. Rav made one statement that Rishut HaRabim Mikureh is not the Rishut HaRabim, and a second statement is that Enehem, between the wagons, Bitsi Dehem, in between the wheels of the wagons, and Tachtehem are Rishut HaRabim. And we do have a manifestation of that, where there's space between the Krashim that's greater than 3 Tfachim, and therefore that will be unroofed area, and that'll be what Rav is speaking about. That unroofed area will be the Rishut HaRabim, and the remainder will be roofed, and it will not be classified as Rishut HaRabim, and that's how we'll reconcile between the two statements of Rav. Correct. Whatever's under the krashim will be Rishut HaRabim Mikureh and will be Pador. Whatever's not under the krashim, as long as you have a space greater than 3 Tfachim, will be Rishut HaRabim that's not Mikureh, and that will be Kayav, and that's how we can reconcile the two statements of Rav. Now the Gemara continues with the machloket about what the krashim looked like. Jistar Rabbanan, krashim milamata and ovyanama. At the base, they are an amathik. Olamalan kalin v'olchin ad ke'etzpa. But they taper off until they are a finger's breadth. Shinemar, you tamim al rosho. They have to be flush at the top. Ulahalan huomer. And it says in Yoshua, tamu nichritu. Finished off, nichritu, and cut off. In Sefer Yoshua, it's describing what happened to the waters of the Yarden after they are split. It says that anybody who was downriver from Bnei Yisrael crossing through the Yarden, they did not get any water. Vayordim al yam ha-rava, yam ha-melach, tamu nichratu. They didn't see any water coming down because the Yarden was now cut off and the water was no longer flowing towards yam ha-melach. Now, the Gemara is making a gzeir shavar, a connection between the tamim that is found over here, that they are flush, and the tamu nechritu that is mentioned in Yoshua to show you that what does tamim mean? Means nechritu, cut off. It's sliced off, and that's what happens when you taper something. When you taper something, you're cutting off as you go up. You cut off a portion of the board as it goes up. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that they're an amah wide at the bottom and tapered at the top. On the other hand, Rabbi Nechemio, Omer Kashem Shalamata Novyam Amah, Kach Milamana Ovyanama. Just like at the base, they're an amah wide, so too, as they ascend, they remain an amah wide. They're rectangular in nature. They're like a normal board that you would see. Shinemar, yachtav. Because it says they are together. Yachtav, or singular in their nature. Their singular nature means they have the same size all the way through. Vaktiv tamim. What does he do with the word tamim? Hao deleto shlamim velo leto denisra. That they have to come as a single board. They were planed and made as a board, and not like press board or plywood or attached pieces. It was a single board. The keresh was 10 amot tall by 1.5 amot wide by 1 amot deep. Came from a single piece of wood, and that's how they created it. It wasn't glued together. It wasn't pieced together. It was one piece. That's what he says the word tamim means. Vidach. And what about Rabbi Yehuda? He also has the word yachdav. What is he going to do with that? Hao delo lishchofinu mehadadeh. That you shouldn't stagger them. That they should all be flush all the way across. Or they should be next to each other. So that where the tapering happens, the tapering should all be at the same angle. And they should put next to each other so they all taper. Not have them one side taper this way, one side taper this way. And therefore there's spacing in between them. Like anybody would build. Then in a way that they place them all in the same tapering. And therefore it's a nice long wall of tapered krashim. Bishlam al damandamar. Bishim lamatan obyanama. Kachmilamalan obyanama. Now I understand why it says, Uliarkate Mishkan Yama Tase Shisha Krashim. On the western side you make 6 Krashim. Ushne Krashim Tase Lemukutza Ot. And you'll make 2 Krashim for the corners. The Atya Putya Dahani, the width of those in the corner, Mimalile Le Sumcha Dahani. It will cover the depth of the ones on the north and the south. So over here, what we have is that along the northern and southern sides, we said before that there were 20 krashim. So those 20 krashim, when they line up, and they come all the way to the end. Then on the western side, you also have 6 krishim that go along. So now if you take 20 krishim along the northern and southern sides and you multiply it by 1.5 amot, that gets you 30 amot. That is the size of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is 30 amot from the front to the back. Then on the western side, you have 6 krishim of 1.5 amot. 6 times 1.5 is 9 amot. But we know that the width of the Mishkan is actually 10 amot. So now, how do they work the corners? This is what the Gemara is discussing over here. That they were actually, according to the one who says that the beams were completely equal top and bottom, that's Rabbi Nechemiah, it's easy to understand what happened. In the corners, they place a keresh in each corner that's 1.5 wide, 1 deep, and 10 tall, like a regular keresh. But what ends up happening is, a portion of that keresh is eaten up by the depth of the northern and southern sides. So the northern and southern sides are an amah deep. So that 1.5 amah keresh that's in the corner, an amah of it's eaten up by the northern wall. And on the southern side, an amah is eaten up by the southern wall. What's left over from that keresh in the corners? Half amah on that keresh and half amah on the other keresh. That gives you the additional amah, plus the 6 krashim in the middle that got you to 9, that gets you 10 amot. So now you have 10 amot of width. But everything works nicely because now you have a nice horseshoe, basically. What you've generated here is a horseshoe shape, which is the northern and southern sides and the western side. And the western side portion of it is covered by the northern and southern sides to create the U or the horseshoe shape. And that will all work nicely. Everything will be flush and look perfect. So I understand, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, how this looked. The problem is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says that they tapered at the top. Then, when you get to the western side, how do you have those corner beams? If you place in those corner beams in the western side, and they come up to the top, they're squared out. The tapering is from the 1.5 amah side upward, but the 1 amah deep side is not tapered. So what you're going to end up happening here is you're going to have, they all taper in like this, and on the western side they also taper inward, but at the corner, the one that's 1.5 wide is actually going to extend beyond the northern and southern sides, because the northern and southern sides are tapered upward, and that's squared out. Western side, the corners are squared out, and so you're going to have them extending beyond the krashim in that side. So the answer is that the corner boards were tapered on two sides, which is, that's what the Gemara says here. So if you look here, that the base is an amah wide, and then they rise to the point where they are an etzba. The southern and northern sides are going in, whereas the western side's sticking out. It's going to look a little funny on the western side, because you're going to have this thing protruding out beyond the tapering of the northern and the southern sides. It's not even aesthetically pleasing. So why would you do that? So where it says, the shafilei kiturin, they are tapered like a mountain. How does a mountain look? A mountain is tapered from all sides. A mountain comes inward from all sides. The same thing over here. On the western side, it's not only going to be tapered behind it, coming in, but also be tapered over here, so it matches the tapering of the northern and southern sides. So once you've done that, you have it look nice, but those mekutzot will be tapered from two directions, both from the western side in and the northern side or the southern side inward. By tapering on two sides, then you make it flush with the northern and southern boards that are there. So that's what the answer of the Gemara is, that it's kiturin, that it's a tapering that's like this, on a right angle. You have a tapering this way and a tapering this way. That'll make it so that this is the western side, so that's tapered here. And this will match up with what's on the southern and northern sides, if you taper it from two sides. Alright, now the Gemara says, Veha briach hatichon betoch hakrashim. The briach, which we mentioned before, that there were holes in the middle of the krashim that allowed this pole to go through the middle to lock them together. Tana benes haya omeid. Alright, just leaves it out. It's miraculous that that happened. As far as the briach are on the outer ones that go through the taba'ot, those poles that go through it, it's very easy to understand. They're first of all 4 poles per side. So you insert the pole from, that is, say on the northern side where it's 30 amot long. You have a pole that's 15 amot long, you insert it. You have another pole that's 15 amot long, you insert it. And they meet in the middle through these taba'ot. And you have one on top and one on the bottom. Whereas the briach ha-tichon, the middle pole that went through, was a single pole that went the entire 30 amot of the southern side, the entire 10 amot of the western side, and the entire 30 amot of the northern side. It's a single pole that made it all the way around the horseshoe, all the way around the U. One pole, and that's what the Gemara says, nice, it was a miracle, because the pole had to bend to make the turns through the krashim. And that was the miracle that it was able to do that. It was spring-loaded, so they had to insert it, and it made its way around the horseshoe as a singular pole going through. Now, next thing about the Mishkan. So there's another piece of information that you need to know about the Mishkan, which are the Yiriyot. The Yiriyot are actually two sets of Yiriyot. There's the lower Yiriyot, which are made up of sheets that are 4 amot wide and 8 amot long. They attached 5 of these together. There were 5 of them in a row that were attached together. And then there's another set of 5 on this side. And they had loops over here. They're called the lulaot on each at the ends of the two sets of 5. And then they were called krasim. Krasim were these hooks that hooked them together and joined them together in the middle. In totality, what you have now is you have 10 of these pieces of ohel, which are 4 by 28, which extend this way. This would be, they're 28 long and 4 wide, but they're joined along their length side. So now they actually join together to give 10 of them that are 4 amot, each one add up 4. So what's end up going to happen? The Gemara is going to do the math in a second. So if you do the multiplication, so now they have 10 times the 4 is 40 amot. So that's the length of when they're joined together. That's going to be the length of all of them. And they are 28 amot wide. This is what we call the Mishkan. This is the Mishkan. And that Mishkan lays on literally on top of the Mishkan, what we described before. Lays on top of the Mishkan. It's not hanging, but it lays on top of the Mishkan. So now, that's what Gemara describes here. Correct. Ve'et Mishkan taseh eser yiriyot. The Mishkan you made, 10 yiriyot, which we just described here, these 10 pieces of ohel. Orech ha-yiriya achat. The length of a single yiriya is 8 ve'esrim be'ama, 28 amot. Shadei urkayu lepuchia de Mishkan. You put the length of the yiriyot across the width of the Mishkan. So kama havya, esrin v'tamya. Then you have 28. The same is going to be true along the length, which is going to have 40 amot along the length. The Gemara will do that calculation in a second. If you put 28, the length of these, over the width of the Mishkan, how wide was the Mishkan? We just discussed this before. How wide was the Mishkan? 10 amot. It's 10 amot wide. So that's what the Gemara says here. Dal eser le'igra. Take away 10 amot for the airspace, the roof of the Mishkan, because it's 10 amot wide. Pashalu tet l'hai gisa v'tet l'hai gisa. If I take 28 minus 10, I'm left with 18. If I take 18 and divide it in half, I have 9 and 9. That means I have 9 amot residual for each side. The Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, says that the krashim were tapered down to an etzpa at the top. Then, when it falls over, it's going to fall over and go down 9 amot on the krashim on each side. Because there's no width to the kerish at the top. And it's going to flow down to 9 amot. Doesn't consider here is that there's a hypotenuse to the tapering of the board. So it shouldn't go down the full 9 amot. That they don't consider. They just say that it goes drops for Rabbi Yehuda down 9 amot. Down to right above what we call the Adanim. The way the Krashim looked were, they were actually 10 amot tall. The last amah, the base amah we're going to see at the end of today's daf, was actually 2 projectiles coming out of it. Those projectiles sat in the silver Adanim, the silver bases that were underneath it. So they placed into the Adanim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what you basically have is, it covers the entire Keresh. The only thing exposed on the side now is the Adanim, the silver Adanim of the Mishkan. So that's what the Gemara says so far for Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda miglai amada Adanim. For Rabbi Yehuda, the only thing exposed on those sides, the northern and southern sides, is the 1 amah of the silver Adanim. But Rabbi Nechemia says that the boards on top were an amah wide. That means you have an additional amah of width at the top for the roof that's covered up on each side. So that means actually to cover the top, you need 12 amot to cover the top, 10 of the airspace, plus an amah on each side for the keresh. 12 amot, 28 minus 12 is 16. 16 divided in half is 8. That means you have a residual of 8 on each side to drape down. The 8 that drape down on each side is Migalia Amah de Krashim. Then you have not only the Amah of the Adanim, but 1 Amah of the Krashim are exposed because you only cover 8 amot of the keresh. Shadi putayu the orka de Mishkan. Put their width along the length of the Mishkan. Kama avya. How much is that? 40. We said before that each width is 4 amot. 4 times 10 is 40. Now, we said before that the Mishkan, the length of the Mishkan is 30 amot. So if the length of the Mishkan is 20, dal tlatzi in the igra. 30 amot of the space of the Mishkan, take out that 30 amot, which is for the roof, the empty space of the roof. Pashalu, what's left over? Take 40 minus 30, you have 10 left over. Le Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where the krashim in the back don't take up any space at the top, there ke etzba. Then, mechsaya ama dadanim. You have 10 that drapes over the back. 10 drapes over the back of the Mishkan. It covers not only the krashim, but it covers all the way down to the floor, even the adanim themselves. covers the entire 10 amot there. The Rebbe Nechemya, on the other hand, Rebbe Nechemya, you have an amah of thickness of the Kreshim on the western side. That amah of thickness on the western side is added to the roof space, so it's 31 on top. That means 40 minus 31 is 9. You only have 9 amot that drape down in the back. So Miglaya amah dadanim. For him, the amah dadanim was exposed on the back. Now one of the things you need to know is that on the eastern side there was nothing. On the eastern side there were no kreshim dadanim, and we start flush with the first of the kreshim on the eastern side. It's not a door, it's a vilon, it's a curtain that hangs down. Curtain that hangs down, but it has a mudim that holds it up, and it's a curtain that hangs over there. But it takes up no width of space over there, and that's why the Gemara is starting from the beginning of the airspace and dropping it all to the western side, which is the back of the Mishkan. That's for what we call the Mishkan that goes on top. On top of the Mishkan are the Yiriotizim, which are an ohel. They're called an ohel because they cover over the Mishkan. Now the Yiriotizim were similar to the Mishkan, but they're a little different, which is that their shape was 4 by 30. Instead of being 4 by 28, they were 4 by 30. The additional thing is that they had 5 of them attached together and 6 of them attached together to make up 11. There were 5 on one side, 6 on the other, and they put the loops together, and then they made it into 11 long. So now the dimensions of this Yiriyot Izim is 44 by 30. So that's what it's going to be. Now they're going to place this on top of the Mishkan. And the Gemara is going to do the same calculation we just did before. Vasita yireat izim la'oel. Orech ha'yirei achat 30 ba'ma. The width of a single piece is 30 amot by 4 amot. Shadei ukayu l'putya de Mishkan. Take the length of the yireot, which is 30 amot, and stretch it across the width of the Mishkan. Again, hakam avya. Avyam in Tlatin. How wide are the yireot? 30. So how much is the top of the Mishkan? Dal eser the igra. Once again, we know that it's 10 amot wide, the Mishkan. So you drop 10, you have 20 left over. Pashlu eser, the haigisa, the eser the haigisa. 20 divided in half is 10 for each side. Le Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, says that the kreshim at the top take up no space. That means I have 10 left over that can drape down the side, and 10 draping over the other side, they cover to the floor. And that's what it says, Mikhsaya Amad Adanim. It covers even the Amad Adanim, it goes all the way to the ground. The Rebbe Nechemya, according to Rebbe Nechemya, who says that the kreshim at the top are still an Amad wide, that means that the roof is 12. Because the 10 of the airspace plus an Amad on each side for the kreshim, it's 12 across. 30 minus 12 is 18. 18 divided in half is 9. 9 left on each side gets you down to the Amah of the Adanim at the base. So the Amah of the Adanim is left over. So the Rebbe Nechemya, Migalya Amah Adanim. Tanya Nami Ochi. We have a braita that supports this. V'amah mizeh, v'amah mizeh be'odef. The Chamasot Amah shel Adanim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That the Amah here and the Amah here, which was in excess, meaning that if you have them 30 long here, and the previous Mishkan was 28 long, you have an excess of an amah on each side. That they exceed the Mishkan, which was 28. They exceed them by amah. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, what does that excess amah do? It covers over the Adanim, because it reaches until the ground. Whereas according to Rabbi Nechemya, Omer l'chasot amah shel kreshim. That additional amah only covers up to the kreshim, but leaves the Adanim exposed on the base. Now, shadei putayu l'urkei de Mishkan. Take their width and put it along the length of the Mishkan. Kama avyo, how much is that? Again, we said there are 11 of them times 4. That's 44 amot. Mem va'arba. It's 44 amot. Dal tlatin l'igra. Again, the length of the Mishkan is 30. 44 minus 30 is 14. You have 14 left over now. Now, pashalu arba sare. You have 14 left over. Dal tarte l'kifla. Take two of those amot for the foldover. Dichtiv. V'chafata diriya shishit el mul pnei ha'olel. You will fold over a half of the sixth area towards the front. So in the front of Mishkan, on the eastern side, it didn't start flush like the other one, but actually went over the edge and folded over two amot on that side. So you knock out two amot for that fold over in the front. So that leaves you 12 left over for the back. Pashalu tarte sari, you have 12 for the back. Bishlam ala Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I understand. I know Div. That's what it says. Chatzi area udefet tisrach. The additional half a yiriya will drape over on the floor. It will be like the equivalent, the Gemara's going to say in a second, like a wedding gown. The train of the wedding gown that lands on the floor. Because he has 12 amot left over. Remember, his kreshim have no width to them. So that means at the back end, you have 12 left over. 10 of them will get you to the floor. 2 left over are dragging on the floor behind. 2 is half a yiriya. Because the yiri has four amot wide. You put two that are draped on the floor in the back and two that are draping over in the front. So that makes sense. The pasuk that says that tisrach, that it'll be flowing or draping in the back, the two amot of chatzi yiriya, that makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hello, Rabbi Nechemia, my tisrach. What is the draping over? Because for Rabbi Chemia, he has 12 amot left over in the back, but he has to use one amot left for the depth of the prashim on the western side. That means he only has an excess of 11. The excess of 11, 10 to get down to the ground, that means there's only one amah sticking out in the back. So what does it mean, tisrach, that there's half a yiriyah that is draping? The answer is, tisrach michavrotah, that extends beyond the one that's before it. Because remember, the mishkan that was there before was 10 times 4, 40 amot. 40 amot starting flush from the eastern side. 30 of them took up the airspace of the mishkan. One amah was the keresh. So that's 31 out of the 40. He had 9 left over. The 9 left over draped down the back and left the adanim exposed for Rebbe Nechemia in the back. Now he has the 44. Two of those he puts in the front. So now he's down to 42. 30 of them he needs for the airspace. He's down to 12. He needs one amah in the back for the depth of the prashim. He's down to 11. The 11 extends down to the ground in one pass. The previous one only got down 9. 11 exceeds 9 by 2 amot. So what does it mean that it extends, tisrach, it drapes over 2 amot more? It drapes over 2 amot more than the one that's underneath it. It extends 2 amot more. Not on the floor. On the floor is only 1 amot. But it extends beyond the drape that's underneath it by 2 amot. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda explained the pasuk. Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Lama mishkan domeh. What is the mishkan similar to? Lishash me'alechet b'shuk. A woman is walking in the marketplace. V'shipulea me'alchim acharea. And her drape goes behind her. That's what I said to you before. It's like the train of a wedding gown that trails behind the woman when she's walking. That's exactly what the Mishkan looks like because of the draping of the Yiriyot Izim on the back. Whether it's a Rebbe Nechemia, it's one amah. According to Rebbe Yehuda, it's two amah that drape across the band on the back. Now, the last statement here, which is what we discussed until now, which is Tan Rabbanan. Charutzim ayu akrashim. The chalulim ayu adanim. The adanim are the sockets, the silver sockets, in which the krashim sit. And it says here that the silver sockets are hollow in the middle. Now the sockets were in the same shape as the krashim, but it took two sockets to fill up a keresh. So if a keresh is 1.5 wide, and it's 1 amah deep, that means that the adanim are 1 amah deep, but they're only 3/4 of an amah wide. They're 3/4 of an amah wide, so the two of them together will add up to 1.5 amot. So the 3/4 of an amah wide and an amah deep. Now the 3/4 of an amah is not all solid. It's not all solid, but there is a hollow space in the middle. That hollow space in the middle is basically half an amah. That means that the walls of the adanim are 1/4 amah all the way around. 1/4 amah are all the way around. And then you have an half amah space in the middle. They're 1/4 by 1/2 in the middle. Because you need 1/4 amah, 1/4 amah, and then it'll leave 1/4 amah in the middle on the lengthwise. And then the depth-wise, you'll have an amah, so it'll be 1/2 by 1/4. The hollow space is 1/2 amah by 1/4 amah. Then the krashim themselves were charutzim. They had pegs extending out of them. Those pegs were 1/2 amah by 1/4 amah. Those pegs are 1/2 amah by 1/4 amah, and then they insert into the hollow space of the adanim, and then they rest on the rim of the adanim. The space that is not the pegs sits right on top of the adanim, and that's what's being said here. Charutzim ayu akrashim, v'chalulim ayu adanim, Benirim, therefore you insert the krashim into the adanim. You can see that in the picture that's here in Rashi. They're going in. Now, just so you know that there is some stira between Rashi here in the Gemara and Rashi in Chumash. Rashi in Chumash, first of all, describes the draping of the yiriyot slightly differently, off by an amah. He shifts it over an amah in the Chumash. So it's actually different than what he says here, as well as the adanim. It's not clear. According to Rashi in Chumash, it sounds like the adanim are actually U-shaped. And not squared out with a hollow piece in the middle, but rather U-shaped, equivalent to what today they use when they put up a sukkah or a deck. They have those U-shaped pieces in which they insert the beams and they drill them into it. So that same thing over here. That's what it sounds like from Rashi and Chumash. Over here, Rashi sounds more like it was a hollow piece and it was all around. Just so you know, when we get up to Parshat Truma, and you see it in there, it's Rashi over there is slightly different than he is over here. Benirin krasim belulaot kekochavim berakia. The yiriot, we said before, are made up of 5 and 5. They had loops, these tchelet loops at the end, and they're connected by krasim. The krasim are these hooks that attach them. The lower ones, the mishkan ones, were golden hooks, and the upper ones were copper hooks that connected them together. Those hooks, when you connect them together, when you were underneath and looked up, looked like stars in the sky. Because there was a little gapping there, but you have where the loops and then the metal pieces inside of it. So the way the light came in through that made it look like there were stars over there. Where exactly that attached should have been, and that's what part of the issue is here, should have been over the gap or the vilon between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Kodesh HaKodeshim is 10 by 10. The Kodesh is 20 by 10. So let's take, for instance, the original Mishkan. Remember we said it was 5 and 5. There were 5 put together and 5 put together. 5 times 4 is 20. So it went for the first 20 amot and stopped. So where they were attached was the point where the Kodesh broke from the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The remaining 20, 10 of it went over the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and then the remainder went off the back. With the larger Yiriotizim, remember there are 44 amot. The way we described them, there were 22 amot towards the front, because they're draped over 2 amot on the eastern side, plus another 20 gets you, 20 plus the 2 is 22. That's the halfway point. Problem is that the Yiriot are 4 amot, and there's 6 and 5 of them. So there's only 20 and 24. So once you do that, it doesn't sit exactly on. And that's why I think Rashi and Chumash shifts it over to get it to be centered over the Kodesh and Kodeshim. He has to shift it over another amot, and by doing that, he ends up with a slightly different calculation than we have over here in order to adjust for that problem of getting the lulaot to be over between the space between the Kodesh and the Kodesh and Kodeshim. Okay, we'll stop over here.